Thank you for joining me today. The purpose of this ministry, coast to coast on the broadcast and around the world on the podcast, is to tell you daily who God is. And yesterday we finished a careful study answering the question, what does God look like in Jesus Christ? And we saw the glory of the risen and ascended and exalted Jesus Christ in the final book of the Bible, the Revelation of Jesus Christ, in chapter 1. That chapter, specifically verses 12 through 18, tell us precisely what Jesus now looks like. In his heavenly body, he is exalted. But the Bible also teaches that Jesus Christ lived in an earthly body. And when he invaded our world, born of the Virgin Mary, born under the law, when he came to live as we now live, he lived a life of humiliation. In heaven, he is exalted. On earth, he is humiliated. And we can speak of the state of Christ's humiliation in five ways. We could talk about his incarnation. That is, God became man. And we could talk about his suffering, his death, his burial, and his descent into Hades. These are five stages of the humiliation of Jesus Christ. And while I am tempted to slow walk us through each of these, I must acknowledge that time is no friend of mine. And so what I have chosen to do is to teach you something about the humiliation of Jesus through his suffering and his death. I've selected two of the five stages of humiliation for us to consider together, you and me. And as I continue this introduction today, I want to ask and answer two questions up front. First, why am I doing this now? Second, how am I going to do this? So there's a why question, why now? And there's a how question, how will I do this? Let me take these one at a time. Are you with me? Good. First, let me answer, why now? As winter starts to wind down, and winter, that is a loaded term. If you're listening in a place where it gets cold and snows, like in and around Boston, you're wondering if the winter season will actually slow down. This just seems like one of those years when the snow comes late. But take courage, friends and family. It will stop snowing. And spring will blossom. Up will come those flowers. Others of you tune in from the area surrounding San Francisco, and winter takes on a slightly different meaning for you. You still experience changes in weather, but the chill that descends on New England goes beyond what you, dear friends, experience. Still others of you tune in on the podcast from around the world where there really are no change of seasons. Nevertheless, flip your calendar and everywhere, February turns into March, which springs into April. And if you look down at Sunday, April 21st, Western calendars will have a word there. It is the word Easter. Or if you are Orthodox, your eyes drop down to April 28th, and you'll find Orthodox Easter marked on your calendar. I desire to speak with you about the humiliation of Christ now because I want to prepare us for Easter. According to my calculations, we have 6 weeks until Easter, and that gives us some time, not too much time, but some time to talk about the suffering and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that by between now and Easter Sunday, we will have opened our Bibles, stepped inside, and keeping our minds, eyes, hearts and affections set on Jesus, we will experience something of his humiliation through his suffering and death upon the cross. So this series fits the time in which we now find ourselves. This is why I do this now. Do you remember our second question? Yes, it is, how am I going to do this? What is my plan? Since the New Testament writers wrote extensively on the humiliation of our Lord, there's much for me to choose from, so I thought and prayed a lot about this. I really did. And ultimately, I believe, guided by the Holy Spirit, I've settled on the gospel according to Matthew, beginning in chapter 26, and following Matthew along until the end of his gospel in chapter 28. So we will be reading and discussing select texts in Matthew chapters 26 through 28. Now, there's one exception to this, and that is almost right away. At the start, we're going to quickly divert into John's gospel for a little while, but I'll tell you about that when we get there. I do not want to get ahead of myself. Taking cross-referencing within the Bible into account, Still, we will spend the majority of our time with Matthew. This is the first book of the Bible's New Testament. You can easily find it in your own copy of the Bible, which I really want to encourage you to have with you and open when you listen to God Is. If otherwise occupied when you tune in, then please be sure to read that day's scriptures on your own later, if possible, before the next day. And if you want to know something about buying a Bible or reading the Bible online or in an app on your device, send me an email or write me a letter and ask me. My addresses will be given soon. Please be prepared to write them down. So this answers my second question, how will I do this? And there's just one other thing I want to say by way of introduction before we get to Matthew chapter 26, and it's this. I do not call Easter Easter. I call it Resurrection Day. And why do I do this? Well, I'll tell you why. But let me just say that if you insist on referring to the day the Lord Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead as Easter, I can live with that. You do not need to send me a letter defending why you call his resurrection Easter, and or trying to convince me to do the same. Nor do you have to agree with me on Resurrection Day, and then scold your pastor, minister, spiritual leaders, the church's planning committee, accordingly, on changing the name to this very special day. The reason I have personally moved away from Easter is simply because Easter was a pagan religious holiday. Easter is not Christian. In addition, now what we celebrate as quote-unquote Easter has been commandeered by the culture and by consumerism such that we have the Easter bunny and Easter eggs and Easter candy and baskets representing not who I want to honor, Jesus Christ. And no, I do not tackle people dressed up as the Easter bunny at kids' events and start yelling and screaming about how pagan they are. I do not do that, nor am I opposed to spending that Sunday afternoon snacking on chocolate and jelly beans. In fact, I love, love, love jelly beans. The small ones, not the big ones, by the way. All I am saying is that as a Christ follower, as a believer, and as part of a community of believers in the church, I want to honor the resurrected Lord, making certain that he is the purpose of this day. Just as Christmas is not about Santa Claus and presents under the tree, so too Easter is not about a bunny and eating chocolate while searching for different colored eggs. Jesus Christ came alive. In his resurrected body, he emerged from the tomb. This is Resurrection Day as I see it. And even just by changing the name of the day, I find within myself that my focus changes to who should be the focus. Jesus. Furthermore, yes, I know that every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, because every day, 365 of them in a year, we honor Christ who is alive forevermore. So I just wanted to put that to you today, such that you understand why here on God Is, what you call Easter, I call Resurrection Day. And while I do not want to make too big a deal out of this, maybe what I have said does give you food for thought. Or maybe you're like, move on, man. It's always been Easter, and it is going to continue to be Easter. All right, let's move on then, and move right into the gospel according to Matthew. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 26, verses 1 through 16 today. So if you're able to follow along, open your Bible to Matthew chapter 26 and read along with me verses 1 through 16. I'll just have time today to get this text on your mind, and then obviously I'll say more about it beginning tomorrow. I'll actually be saying much more about it. Matthew chapter 26, verse 1. When Jesus had finished all these words, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover's coming, and the Son of Man is to be handed over for crucifixion." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people were gathered together in the court of the high priest named Caiaphas, and they plotted together to seize Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they were saying, "Not during the festival, otherwise a riot might occur among the people." Now when Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster vial, a very costly perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' head as he reclined at the table. But the disciples were indignant when they saw this and said, "Why this waste? For this perfume might have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you bother the woman? For she has done a good deed to me. For you always will have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. For when she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her." Then one of the 12, named Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me to betray him to you?" And they weighed out 30 pieces of silver to Judas. From then on, Judas began looking for a good opportunity to betray Jesus. That was Matthew chapter 26, verses 1 through 16. And I'd like to strongly encourage you to read that on your own later today or this evening. If you want to, go ahead and read all of Matthew chapters 26 through 28. That's Matthew 26, 27, and 28. And when you come back tomorrow, I will begin to explain to you what this entire passage means, and we'll see how Jesus is humiliated through his suffering. Because to be sure, the suffering of Christ is here. And he is here with quite the cast of characters. We're going to meet all of them. And this is a true story. These are real people. These are historical persons from which we can learn a great deal. The Gospels record the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And as we prepare, as we get ready for Resurrection Day, let's come together to learn, to really know intimately the Lord Jesus. Let's see how others respond to him, and let us contemplate our own response to who God is in Christ. So won't you join me in Matthew in the days ahead? I hope you will, beginning tomorrow, on God Is.